The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. First reading, Isaiah 22. All kings descended from David are anointed. That is why they are called the Messiah, which means anointed. Eliakim has received spiritual and temple authority to guard and protect the palace, to be a father to Jerusalem. He is not the Messiah. He's not the king. He's like in charge of the palace. He is the one you speak to in Jerusalem before you get to the Messiah, the anointed one. He is the father of Jerusalem. He serves directly underneath the Davidic king. Now, it's not David, because this is the prophet Isaiah. It's a few hundred years after David. And he has the keys. And when he opens, no one shall shut. And when he shuts, no one shall open. In the New Testament, Jesus is the messianic king from David's line who holds the key of David and wields full authority over his kingdom. You can read that in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And at the same time, he elevates Peter to be his chief steward by entrusting him with the keys of the kingdom, thereby investing Peter with the authority to bind and loose in matters pertaining to his kingdom on earth. So Simon becomes Peter. He is the rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And in the Gospel of Matthew is the only place where we have the reference to explicitly the church, and we have it three times in his Gospel. And here we have this naming of him as Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, so that's where you were, and now you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And so he is given these keys, so he's been given this authority. If we look at other parts of the Gospel, Jesus entrusted to Peter the task of strengthening his brethren. If you look at the Last Supper, according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "Behold, Satan demanded to have all of you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, singular Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have returned again, you will strengthen your brethren." Luke 22, Last Supper. John 21, after the resurrection. We all know that Peter betrayed Jesus three times. After the resurrection, Peter and six other disciples go fishing. They're in the Sea of Galilee. And John sees Jesus on shore. The beloved disciple identifies the Lord. Peter jumps into the water and goes to the shore. After the meal, Jesus and Peter, they have a conversation. And he asks Peter three times, "Do you love me more than these?" I mean, the other disciples. And Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Three times he says that. And Jesus responds each time with the command, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He's bringing him back in, reinstilling the command, the authority, you're going to do this. Acts chapter 1, Judas Iscariot is dead, he has killed himself. And the small community of believers are together awaiting for whatever Jesus has promised would come to them. So you've got the 11, you've got disciples, you've got men and women, and you've got the Blessed Virgin Mary. There they all are, together. And Peter says, we must fulfill the promises and the work of Christ, and we must have a successor to make the number 12 again. So he comes up with that, and they all vote together, and it's based on prerequisites. One, you have to have been around since John's baptism, John the Baptist, and you have to have seen the empty tomb. And so they choose between two, and they get Matthias. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, all the Jews are in Jerusalem to celebrate this Jewish feast day, which the Holy Spirit transforms into the birth of the church, and Peter does the preaching. He does the proclaiming of the good news. Acts chapter 10, Peter is on his journeys, and he goes to Joppa, and there it is, and there's these Gentiles. And the Gentiles want to know about this Jesus, and Peter proclaims the gospel to them. They get hit with the Holy Spirit, and then he responds to the Holy Spirit. Peter does and says, we need to baptize them. Both places, it's Peter, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, bringing them in. The Pope, the successor of Peter, serves the unity of the apostles, as our Lord prayed at the Last Supper. Father, I pray that they may be one just as you and I are one. For all who believe in me, through their word, those apostles, that they may be one, united, that they also may be in us, that the apostles may be in us, you and me, Father, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So the unity of the Father and the Son is what Jesus wants those apostles to live, this unity. And he does it with the 12, and he does it with Peter at the head. So Peter is the symbol of the unity with the apostles. The church, meaning the early church, first 2, 3, 4 centuries, already looked to Rome, the great city of Peter and Paul, to know what proper teaching is. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, addressing heretical sects and everything like that, in the year 189, he says, all you have to do is just look to Rome and see the succession and to know who we are as Christians. What is the proper teaching? And he lists all the successors of Peter all the way to the year 189. So after Peter, you get Linus, Cletus, Clement, which you hear in the Eucharistic prayer number 1. That's why their names are there. And he says, that's all you have to do. Just look to Rome and you will see that apostolic succession, and you will know that if you cling to that, then you are in right teaching. So the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, the successor of Peter, has this special mission to serve the inner unity that comes from God's peace. The unity of those who have become brothers and sisters in Christ. He is not a secular prince or a head of state. He protects God's revelation and proclaims the gospel. And the bishops live that in unity with him. And we are with our bishop, Carl, who is in unity with Leo. And it is the church, the unity that Christ desires. And it is this church that goes out into the world, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, which means that the evil in the world will not overtake and be more powerful than what Jesus is giving them, because he's always about expelling demons and dealing with the evil. And often and in every age, the church is always in need of purification and cleaning house, and it happens. For 2 millennia, it happens. And it happens because holy good people say, I'm going to focus on Christ, I'm going to be faithful, and the Lord raises up from the very stones those saints who will guide us and give us some messages along the way. And the church needs that. Because the church is the Pope all the way down to the newest born baptized kid. That's the church. With the Holy Father leading that, with our local bishop. And the gates of hell do not prevail against the goodness of God, who is Jesus, that the Holy Father and the bishops bring to us. So the church has always asked herself in the midst of controversy, confusion, or tribulation, are we teaching what was handed down by the apostles, of which Peter has the primacy? We have the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith when we are united with each other under apostolic succession with the apostles who are united to the successor of Peter. And there's an identity in that. We know who we are. And the more you militate against the teachings of the apostles, the pureness of the gospel, the quicker the death comes for you. Meaning spiritual death. There's an old proverb, those who eat Rome die. There's been a never-ending war against Christ. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord? And knowing that he has given us this leadership, that's why we pray for them all the time. And we are called to be faithful to Christ. And we pray for them to guide us to the fullness of who he is. And that's who we are. And that's what Jesus gives us and those apostles, and in particular Peter, who is that rock.